welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, Friday Mac Show with a fantastic bunch of people. Me, you and Rankin to start us off. Then top left, we've got Mr. Will Green, who's still videoless, unfortunately, but he's there or thereabouts. Hello, mate, how's it going?
Well, I don't know. When you say unfortunately, I think for people watching the video stream, it's fortunate, isn't
it? I was going to say, based on the crackling we got there, your bandwidth couldn't cope with it anyway, dude.
Is that right? Is it crackling?
You're a bit crackly again, but never mind. No, we'll soldier through. You're not going to be as bad as the connection that we have to the Westfield Mall this morning, I'm sure. But don't worry.
Or over here in the Philippines.
Well, yeah, exactly. Carl's bandwidth could crap out at any moment, thanks to Hurricane Swagger. How's the week been, mate?
Oh, it's been really good.
Good.
It's really good. The potty training is coming on. Not potty training, puppy training.
Are we talking about the wives or the dogs?
Dogs, yes.
The dogs, right, good. And you're still equipmentless at the moment. You're still holding fire.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the insurance and stuff to come through. And that's about it, really. So I don't think it should be too long. I think sort of maybe next week, or the week after that at the latest, I've been told by my lovely insurance company.
Well, we've had a chat. We'll have a chat a bit later on, because I think there's a good question, a good discussion to have about iMac versus MacBook Pro versus Mac Pro later on. Someone eminently qualified to give us the lowdown on that conversation is Mr. Don McAllister with a brand new video camera.
Hello. Yeah, well, a new webcam. But,
right.
It's only a cheap Logitech thing, but it seems to be okay. It's doing its job.
Which one is it? The 960 Pro or the 9600 Pro? Is it something?
Good question. Is it a 360 HD or something?
It's the £85 one.
Yeah, well, I got it cheaper than that. Though. Someone recommended it on Twitter yesterday, and it was down to £65 on Amazon. So
yeah, the Logitech ones are good. Mm. We run one of them here for definite. We'd run two, but you can't mix them because the drivers just use the same driver. So,
you've just answered a question I was going to experiment with.
Yeah, no,
with
don't buy two. I've still got another.
It's too late. I didn't buy two. I already got an original Logitech one, but I was going to see if I could use both of them in some way. But
if I'd have known, mate, I would have sent you the one that doesn't work here because I don't need two of them. Below him, returned from sickness and deathbed, it's Kyle Swagger from the Philippines. Hello, mate. How's things?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
You sound significantly better than you sounded on your tweets. You were dying last week.
Yeah, I was not. It's like 2 weeks in a row. I thought I was over the flu, and then apparently I wasn't.
Never mind.
Somebody else had other ideas. But yeah, much, much better now.
Tech news-wise, you didn't miss much. And finally, actually here, actually sat in a seat, not arriving late, not banging around, and actually going to say something this week, I hope, Andrew. Dr. Happy Mac, Andrew Stevens.
Yep, that's me. I'm remarkably cool, calm and collected. Sunshine out.
Looks beautiful.
Everything's going my way, as they say.
Apart from the vocal training, obviously.
Yeah, right. I am the least tuneful person in the world. So I won't promise I won't ever do that again.
Brilliant. The Week in Mac. Another pretty slim week, really. Not an awful lot going on. We're all in hiatus, waiting for the iPad 2 to come. And it's coming today, 5 p.m. at your local Apple store. If you're queuing, you can go there and they will look after you and they will give you the ability to give them £500 or more at the end of the day to get your iPad 2. Mac OS turned 10 this year, so a Mac OS 10 is 10. I thought we'd have a good conversation later about the highs and lows of that. And who's got a packet of biscuits then?
Ah!
Shut up, Stevens. And and then AirPlay has been licensed for video streaming. Steve Jobs has been questioning the iTunes monopoly thing. And there's already a rumour about iPad 3, and we haven't even got two yet. So plenty to discuss. iPad 2, out today. We talked last week about whether it was a big enough... For some of you. Philippines, when do you get it? 2015?
By the time iPad 3 comes out.
Probably. iPad 2, we discussed last week whether we thought it was a big enough upgrade or not. But the thing that's been quite surprising that's come out since that is the pricing. So I think we're down to $429 for the lower end model, and the 64 gig model is down to £560. So it's a £40 saving on the previous price. It's got to be good. I can't say whether we're going to say good or bad on this one, but why? Why on earth is it cheaper?
Because the dollar is worthless.
You think that's it? It's just the toilet paper that is Uncle Sam is.
Well, you know, I think that pretty much says it all. Honestly, I think it has a lot to do with the dollar right now in the markets. So, yeah.
I think our VAT price has gone up here. We've got significantly more to pay on it as taxation, but the price has taken a bit of a tumble. £40 is an awful lot.
Mind you, they've just put the extra on the leather. Seen the price of the leather smart case? It's
£70.
£60.
£70.
I've got it here as the chain.
Oh, it's $69 maybe.
It's $69.
That's right.
In the UK, it's £59, which is horrendously expensive for. I know there's plenty of magnets in there, but still, you know, it's a lot of money for a case.
Is it real leather as well, or is it faux leather? And
good question. It's very thin leather. It's and I can't really see much difference between the polyurethane one. So it's literally down to the colour. If they had colours in, if they had the colours in both the polyurethane and the leather, I'd probably go for the polyurethane one. But they've been very clever, and the most popular colour, which I think is going to be black, is only available in leather. So we have £60 for that.
What animal is a faux then?
What's faux leather? Faux leather's fake. I don't know.
I've never seen a faux.
A faux. Sheep and everything else. Yeah, exactly. It's a rare animal, you see.
It must be.
They've turned the leather slicer down as well. Did you see the wood one that was released this morning?
Mm-hmm.
It's come out from Merio or something like that. I can't really remember the name of it now. I didn't put it in the show notes, unfortunately. But it looks rather good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's all carved out of a single piece of wood. So you've got a single piece of aluminium with a single piece of wood. That's not wasteful, is it? And it's got to be cloth-backed, though. That's the only thing I can think to stop it snapping.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. The thing is, I don't know. They don't really show you how it actually connects to the side, though, because there's no hinge. So it actually lays right on top of the iPad 2, and the edges match perfectly round. So it looks beautiful, and it's all nicely chamfered and everything. But when you see the video of them actually rolling it up so you can use it as a stand, I'm not sure if there's a slot that it slips into or whether or not there's just magnets that are strong enough in the wooden case that allow it to sort of stick to the back. Because on the current smart cover, there is actually a hinge where the magnets are, and that sort of flips around. So I'd like to see one in the flesh, but it looks really nice.
Well, if you part with $70, Don, they'll let you.
I might take one for the team then, you know, and I don't know, we'll see.
I mean, the thing is as well, Don, you're looking at your soiree over to the States last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were going to be significantly better off because of the dollar exchange rate.
Sure.
But you know, given the airfare and that kind of stuff, that saving seems to have disappeared just a little bit at least.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was always going to be expensive for me to do that. But there were, you know, the other benefits as well in going out there. So it wasn't really to save money on actually getting the iPad.
The publicity.
Because at the time, we didn't even know how much they were going to be anyway here in the UK, because they only released the pricing.
Bless you.
I was going to say, did anybody see the hack for the smart cover for iPad 1?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he said he used rare earth magnets. Now, the word rare doesn't tend to go with cheap.
Maybe he means the band.
Right, okay. But the rare earth magnets one, I just thought, well, that's okay, but as long as the rare earth magnets aren't like £120 or something. But there were little tiny things that he stuck on the side. And apparently he said he let them find their own way on the spine so that it could find, because there's magnets in the spine that pair up with magnets that are in the iPhone. Mm-hmm. So he had to lay them down, let them find where they wanted to go, and then glue the magnets and stick them to the side so that they fitted. It all seemed a bit technical, really. And you have to stick some to your old iPad as well. But it fits, apparently. It fits perfectly.
I wouldn't worry about the Earth's precious resources, because rare earth magnet doesn't actually mean that, you know, it's made from unobtainium. It's not that the elements are particularly sort of rare or valuable. It just means that they're not made from the same sort of ferrous materials as normal magnets.
Thank you, Dr. Happy Mac. Doctor for a reason, clearly there.
It's not like they're not lubricated with unicorn tears or anything stupid like that. So
no, you need those to stick it, apparently. Where do you get a rare earth magnet, then, that would suffice?
Well, obviously Earth.
From the Death Star nuclear laser shop online that we had last week, I expect.
Right. Okay. So don't know is the answer I think you were looking for.
eBay. Hey, everything's at eBay.
eBay. Yeah. Rare earth magnet in eBay. Someone have a look while we're going through it all. And one thing we have got is big queues though as well. There's over 200 queues in 200 in the queue at Sheffield. I've gathered from one of the followers on Twitter. And we've got Dave Dean who's down at the Westfield Mall, and he's going to tell us about the queue down there because he's number 30 in a queue that when he talked to me an hour ago, he was over. There was over 200 there already waiting for it, so I'm guessing a few people are going to be disappointed. I tried to get him to interview a few people as well. I don't know what he looks like, so whether he scared him off or not, I don't know, but he's saying that no one's going to give us an interview. So there we go. Let's give him a call and find out if he's there.
And just so you know, I'm looking at rare earth magnets right now. They're about 99 cents on eBay.
99 cents. Brilliant. That's what we need. And Dave's not answering the phone. You git, Dave. I spoke to him earlier. He said, not a problem. Won't be a problem. I'll be there. Calls failed. Thanks, Dave. Right. I was going to send you a present, but now you can get stuffed.
I would not, honestly, I would not impugn anybody's reputation or anybody's, willingness to give in things on the basis of the fact that Skype can't connect them.
Oh, that's true, actually. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh. I paid for the upgrade to the other Skype account that I've got this week, and the £60 or $60, to get the multiple multiple screen thing, to see if we could just do the whole show on multiple screens. Instead of doing multiple screens, do it on one screen, rather. And one thing that I thought I'd try and do is start two Skype accounts and then dial into them so that I've run the same Skype account on two separate machines at once. And it works. And you can do calls. So we might try that next week. Everyone dialing into the same Skype account with their video. And you should get a better audio and better video quality then as well, is the theory. But it works. You can run the same Skype account on four machines simultaneously.
And that's Mac or PC.
And that's Mac or PC. Yeah, that's Skype. So Skype can't be all bad.
Yes, it can.
All right, okay, maybe it can. Let's try Dave again and see if he's got back yet. No,
Dave?
Dave.
You there, Dave?
Hello, Dave.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Dave?
Where the bloody hell are you, Dave?
Oh, well, he just didn't pick up. It's not like he declined you.
No, he's not even dialing at the minute, so that's good. Oh, hang on. There we go. Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, got you.
Brilliant, finally.
Yeah, good, thank you.
So you're at the Westfield Mall, is it?
Yes.
And
just near BBC White City.
Right, okay. And what's it all like there at the minute? Many people?
Yeah, well, I got an update a little while ago. Apparently there's nearly 300 people here now. They're actually queuing outside the centre because they're only allowed to have so many people inside the centre. But it's almost like a Sunday picnic here. There's people sort of just having drinks and coffees and buns. They've been passing around donuts.
What, Apple have?
Water and yogurts and all sorts of things. So really great atmosphere, actually.
Apple's been passing around donuts?
There's more donuts on the way, apparently.
Right, okay. And coffee as well?
Oh, yeah, Krispy Kremes.
Krispy Kreme donuts?
Coffee. Mm. Oh, yeah, good ones.
So you don't feel too bad about partying with your £500 in a few hours, then?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's... Hello?
Hello,
no.
Yeah, where are you?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you,
London,
don't worry.
Calling.
Yeah, we're here, don't worry.
Hello. Yeah, so, good. Yeah, so, yeah, I've been planning for this day for a couple of weeks. I actually tried to order them online a couple of weeks ago from the US, but Apple got wind of it and cancelled my order. So I've had to turn up today with the throng and wait my turn like everyone else.
But you're 30th in the queue, you said earlier, yeah?
Yeah, 30-something. They've been around, and they said there's plenty stock, which is encouraging.
Oh, right.
And they're going to come round and start to take orders in an hour or two to speed things up in the shop itself.
Right, got you. So you'll order your cover and your iPad prior to that, and then just walk in and pay and go.
Exactly. Any accessories. And they're going around with all the network prices if you want a 3G one. So you're all ready to go once you get in the shop, which is really good.
So what's the mood of the people around you? Presumably you've been talking to them. You said you can't get anyone to talk to us, unfortunately. But
they're probably shy.
They're all shy. They won't see their face or anything. What's the mood of people there? Are they really excited about it, or is it a must-have upgrade just because they're all fanboys? Or is there anyone there that's dumping one for two and has got a real use case for it?
Everybody, most people anyway, seem to be iPad 1 owners or have recently parted on eBay to get the funds to buy the iPad 2. In the section I'm in, there does seem to be a lot of anoraks, as you'd expect. You know, Apple fanboys in the, you know, been here since the crack of dawn. I've met quite a few people that I met on MacRumors forum on the iPad UK thread. So, you know, the first 50 or so people really know that they want it because they have to have it. And then there's a few people here, I think, who have never had an iPad before, but, you know, want this one, and they know they're going to be hard to get hold of.
So a good spectrum then, not just fanboys.
No, not just fanboys. The first 50, yeah. And then beyond that, you've got a smattering of normal people, as you might say.
Has anyone confessed to you that they're buying for eBay?
No, no. I mean, I'm buying two today, but one of them is for my 73-year-old mother-in-law, who is an iPad 1 owner and has insisted she wants the latest iPad because it's better.
So you're buying for your mother-in-law. You're being kind to your mother-in-law.
Well, she's paying. I'm just buying. Oh, I'm just doing the queuing up.
Thank God for that, mate. God, blimey.
Oh, yeah.
You don't buy something for the mother-in-law. Good grief.
No, no, not at all. Not at all.
So are people, like, really wildly aware of the specs as well that you're talking to, or are they just kind of like, because it's iPad, I've got to have it?
No, that everyone seems pretty switched on. Like I said, most are existing iPad owners, and they really do want the latest and greatest. And the biggest part of it seems to be the camera. Even though we all know it's not a fantastic camera, I think the fact that you can FaceTime and then use iMovie and obviously play with GarageBand as well, which is another massive seller for the iPad 2. And even though you can use that on the iPad 1, I think the speed increase is going to help with that big time.
Yeah, they say it gets a bit kludgy once you start trying layering the instruments on iPad 1.
I had a go at doing a podcast last week on it, but it was really difficult. It kept stopping after every sort of 2 minutes or so. It wasn't good.
Yeah, now, Don, you and I had a little mess around with the Skype application on the iPad with your iPad 2 through to the Mac. What was your impressions at your end? Because they weren't great at mine, I have to say.
No, it wasn't too successful, was it? And again, the Skype app is still only an iPhone app, so you have to blow it up to two times to see it properly. But no, the quality just really wasn't there. I mean, it worked, but no, it needs some further work on, I think. I've tried a FaceTime, though, to be honest, with a couple of people, and that's the quality on the FaceTime was much improved other than the Skype connection. So
you think that if the Skype application is written for the iPad with the resolution built in rather than upscaling, you think it's going to improve significantly?
Well, I think they do need to create an iPad version now, because the iPhone, and I think a couple of other people that I spoke to, I was at NS Conference this week down outside Reading, speaking to a couple of developers down there, and some of their apps that they've written for the iPhone, they're delighted to find that it just actually works on the iPad, because you know, they don't do any specific testing for the device that it's running on. So it looks as though quite a few of the iPhone apps that use the camera will actually just start working straight away on the iPad. But I'm sure there's things they can do to optimize the iPad experience, you know, take advantage of the higher graphics processor, etc.
So, I mean, from my end, I would have thought that the transmission of the video wouldn't have been affected. So the video I was getting from you was actually pretty bad.
Mm.
So the transmission of video shouldn't be affected, whether it's iPhone or iPad, should
it? No, not really. I suppose it's how it's encoded and transmitted, I suppose. I don't know. I think, I mean, that was only a very quick test first thing.
Yeah, it was.
Saturday morning. So, and I haven't used Skype since then. So we might have just had a bad connection or something. You never know.
As Andrew said, that's always possible.
Yeah.
It could be that it's not optimized. I mean, you know, remember that when Skype was done, it's purely for the iPhone 4. We're trying to import this thing on the iPad 2 right now, knowing good and well that Skype was, at that stage, not prepared to have a front-facing camera on the thing. So it could have something to do with that, I suppose.
Yeah, you'd like to think that Skype would maximize far better, wouldn't you, than just
you'd
leaving
like
it as
to.
It is. Yeah. Well, we've lost Dave, unfortunately, so... So that's the end of the
interview. And I was going to ask what the mood was. Is it white ones or black ones? Because I seem to be the only one. I haven't found my other long-lost brother that wants a white one.
Well, we'll try and get Dave back on and talk to him in a second then. But the mood is good down there. He says it's buoyant. He says it's party-like. And he's got a chair, I know, definitely, he said. And he told me earlier on, they were bringing around Krispy Kreme donuts and coffee for everybody. And there's more, allegedly. So
yeah, I'd just go down there for that. Not even to buy an iPad. I'd just go down for Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. I did a tweet before. I mean, this was about 11:30 or something, so it was a good 5 or 6 hours before you would expect the queue to have started. And in most places, there were fairly healthy numbers at that point. So I'm sort of getting the impression that the lines or the queues, I got told off of calling them lines as well on Twitter, the queues, as we say here in the UK, are much larger than I expected, to be honest, at this time.
No, I mean, is that the iPad queue that you tweeted out a while back? Because you got a picture of an iPad queue, didn't you?
Oh, that...
Was that Lego one. Star Wars or?
Yeah. I don't know. That was someone else's, actually. I retweeted that from somebody else.
Very, very good.
That was my favourite iPad queue.
I wouldn't queue for 5 hours of my mother-in-law. I wouldn't queue for 5 minutes of my mother-in-law.
Dave's back with us. Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave. Oh, the beauty of live broadcasts.
Oh, technology. What a wonderful thing.
Hello, David. Are you there? No, he's not. Right.
Well, is it 2001 Space Odyssey? It
sounded pretty bad, didn't it? We're done. You can get Dave. He's been a fabulous, fabulous chap for offering to ring in and give us the lowdown on the queue there. You can get Dave at the I Confess I'm a Geek podcast. So please go and give him a check out and have a listen, because he's a sterling guy for giving us a call through. Thanks, mate. Right. Going back to the subject in hand, Sparrow Mail 1.1 was released this week. Has anyone used Sparrow?
No.
Nope. No, oh, okay. I would like to have done, but it was only before this new version, it was only available for Gmail, and I tend to use Apple Mail. I actually have a Gmail account, but I divert everything through into my Apple Mail account. So although I had a quick look at it, and it looks very much like a Twitter client, I haven't used it. But I know this new release now supports IMAP, so you can actually use it with normal Apple Mail.
That's right, there's all of it. The other thing is that it's £10, so it's not cheap for a mail client. I thought as a discussion, it might be interesting to sit and think about all the mail clients that are out there for Apple, and if we've got preferences as to which one we should go through. I mean, I use Mail very heavily as well. I've got Sparrow, and I used it for my Gmail accounts, and I really quite liked it. But as you say, Don, going through to the other Mail accounts and IMAP, it didn't work very well at all. Now that's been solved, I might give it another look, because I've paid the £10. Like an arse. but I mean, out of all of the Mail clients that are out there, I mean, you've got some of the lesser-known ones like Mulberry and so on that do very reasonable jobs. Is there a real market for Mail applications for Mac now, or do you think that 99% of people are sticking with Mail and they're never going to move away?
quite a lot of... I was just talking about this the other day, that surprisingly large number of my clients, when you go to their Macs and you fire it up and they deal with all of their email, if they're through the web browser, they've got a Hotmail account, or even a lot of BT internet users will go to BT Yahoo homepage. And I would imagine that it certainly, in fact, I was going to say demographics are older people, but no, I think it's probably a good solid 40% of my clients don't use any email app. They get everything through the browser.
I do.
So you're a browser man only, Carl?
I'm a browser man only. I like Mail, but I just find it easier. I can't say that completely, because through the iPhone, obviously, I don't use the browser there. So I use the app on the iPhone. But when it comes to the desktop, I always just use the browser. I just find it easier, convenient. The last one I used was actually Thunderbird as a Mail client, which I actually quite liked. But it's all in the cloud for me now.
See, I use the Mail app myself, but I have lots of add-ons, because obviously with running Screencast Online, most of my sort of interaction with customers and viewers, etc., is through email. So I get tons of email, and the Mail app is fine, but I augment it with a couple of applications by I think it's InDev. So I use Mail Acton, which enables me to use keyboard shortcuts to respond to emails and to archive emails and stuff. So you sort of build up some muscle memory as to how to respond to emails just by hitting a couple of key presses. And then they have a thing called Mail Tags, which I haven't used for a while, to be honest, and that's a way of Again, organizing emails. So instead of creating this huge hierarchical folder structure of emails, you just tag them with various labels and find them that way. But they've just brought out a new one, which is called Perspectives. And I've been playing with that for the past week or two, and that's really nice. That gives you sort of mini views of your different inboxes and ways to look at your mail and respond to them in quite clever ways as well. So I like the Mail app as the Mail core mail application, but as I say, I do augment it with lots of other different tools as well.
And we've got a two-tier system at the moment within Apple, because you've got the iOS devices doing grouping of emails very, very well. It's something I'm absolutely craving for the main Mac version to have this. And to a certain degree, I think Mail, Address Book and iCal seem to be kind of like forgotten, no?
Well, they're bringing that in line, aren't they, the email threads. I think that's going to come in the Lion email client.
So that'll do grouping and it'll do the way that iOS works. Is there any integration for iOS within Lion for Address Book to work a little bit better with, or even go to a unified client? Because, I mean, Outlook has always kind of had the dominance on that, hasn't it? Outlook Entourage.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what they're doing with Address Book in Lion, to be honest.
Because it's not good, I don't think. Outlook, anyone use Outlook?
Oh, God, the dreaded word. It's funny you say that, because that's probably what actually made me just want to use a browser, because Outlook was just a pain in the, you know. And I think that's the reason why. I haven't used Outlook for years. Of course, I prefer not to touch a Windows machine or have it next to the Mac, because it, you know, might catch cold or something. But Outlook sucks.
But I think there's a lot of people that make the transition from a PC to a Mac will go out and they'll get hold of Office, previously 2008, 2004, which obviously comes with Entourage, which from a Mac perspective has never been the favorite email client. I mean, it's either a bit visually clunky, and it definitely works like a Microsoft product. But that's been a really, you know, a lot of people have found that a really useful sort of halfway house. And they do really appreciate the way that Entourage has traditionally put the address book and the task manager and all that gubbins in with it. And it's a kind of a bit of a shift for people, and one that they don't always trust when you explain to them that the address book in Mail is separate application and the calendar is a separate application, which, you know, it's not a big deal, but it's for a lot of people, it's don't they work together? I want them to work together. And they don't, you know, they do work together, but it's not as seamless or as visually seamless perhaps as having it all integrated into the one app. And hopefully, you know, I would like, even as a Mac user, I think I would like to have my contacts and my address book in the Mail app.
I mean, effectively what we're talking about here is that the Mac approach to calendar, mail and contacts is 20 years old. Effectively?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah. Roughly about that, yeah.
Hasn't, I feel it's the same for any 20 platform, years and though. Doesn't work. Go ahead, sorry, mate.
I feel it's the same for... No, I was going to say, I think it's the same for any platform now. Microsoft doesn't seem to be injecting any life into Outlook. Apple's not really touching much with anything with Mail or iCal or any of that right now. You know, actually, I think it would be kind of nice. You know, we have the Mac App Store and everything else. It would be nice if we could find some... It's funny you say about the iPhone, to actually have something that's as effective and is laid out as nice as the iPhone app is, to have it in the App Store or in the Mac App Store.
I mean, but the Lion Mail is looking pretty much like it's taken all its cues from Mail on the iPad, which is an improvement. I think that's a good thing.
Significant.
And I think email that is dead anyway. Sparrow Mail is definitely, you know, it looks identical to the Twitter's own Twitter client on the Mac.
Go on, Will. You're saying email's dead.
Email's dead, yes. I mean, what more can they do? What more can they do? I mean, email really is a sort of product of the birth of computing, isn't it? And you get an email and you reply to an email, and really that's about it, isn't it? There's limitations on what file size you can receive or send. You've got the IMAP thing, but that's a bit long in the tooth, isn't it, as well? I think with Google, they tried to do that Wave thing, which I think was a brave attempt to move it forward a step. But I think email is evolving into... I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, most of your communication, it strikes me, goes via Twitter or that sort of client. Is that not about where email is going? And
well, I got accused. We had a great conversation about Twitter last week on the big show with Eric Lanigan from the States, and he accused me, and afterwards with a bit of introspection, rightly, that I use Twitter as an email tool because I send lots and lots of DMs to people when I'm saying, you know, are you coming on the show this week? Please dial into line one. How's things? Are you okay? It really is, for me, a 140-character email system. And to a certain degree, that's why I was interested in your statement about emails dead. I don't send a lot of emails anymore.
Exactly. I mean, talking about email clients, I had a go at something called Outspring. I don't think they're doing it anymore. Outspring was a mild client for the Mac, and they tried to do I think they called it something like an intelligence agent in there or something that would sort of analyze the patterns that you were sending and receiving email. But I think the key thing is now is communication is not local anymore. It's in the cloud, isn't it? And email essentially. I know I understand the IMAP thing, but it's still essentially email is a local style. Communication device, isn't it? When you connect your iPhone or your iPad and you're lucky enough to say be a Mobile Me subscriber or something like that, they synchronize and eventually they get together, but it takes a long time to do that. Whereas if everything is on the cloud, why bother? I think the only thing, and I suppose the last thing I say, so communication by text is Twitter or Facebook or something like that. The only thing really, I suppose, is attachments that you can't really do with Twitter and stuff. But there's such big limitations when it comes to mail anyway, that people are using Dropbox or any of the other sort of services to get over that. So what do you think?
I'm disappointed nobody pings me.
Oh. So carry on, Don.
Go on. Well, I still think mail has it. I think the method of communication that sort of dying on its legs for me is voice communication. You know, actually making phone calls to people, because it's very rarely I actually use my phone. And one of the gripes I have about my iPhone is I don't use it really as a phone unless I've got a phone home at any one time. I don't really use it to actually communicate with other people. That's all via Twitter, via email. I think email still has a place though, because and although it's not a guaranteed method of delivery, I feel happier if I've sent someone an email that they most likely will probably read that email and respond to it, rather than if I just send them a Twitter. Sort of with Twitter, and in the early days, it was always thought of, well, Twitter is something you can ignore if you want, because you don't religiously go back and read every tweet that's been sent to you or follow every tweet in your stream. So, and I think in business as well, people still do use emails to, you know, sort of like a guaranteed method of communication, especially if you want a response back from someone. But yeah, it's definitely on the wane. But I see voice communications as the one that's in real trouble at the minute, and not really being adopted, you know, as much as it used to be.
So, I mean, the email's dying out. But I mean, what about things like Audio Boo and stuff? How does that sit with what you're saying there? Because that is an attachment for Twitter. It is an ability for people to communicate.
Yeah, but
I don't see it really that popular.
Just for people to listen to, don't you? It's not really a way to interact with people. It's just, you know, this is what I'm doing now, and here you go.
Go on, Troy.
I was going to say, I don't feel that Audio Boo is that popular. You know, I hear about it, and I even tried it out, but it's easier just to send out 140 characters on Twitter, you know. I was just saying a second ago, I mean, we're talking about social media, but the thing about with Apple is that's one realm I don't know if they want to touch. Like Twitter has. I mean, they've tried Ping. Ping has pretty much failed. And I don't know if that's just because it's so integrated within the Apple universe that it's simply for people like us. But with Twitter, it's a universal thing. It's for everything. But I definitely think we're getting towards that social media realm for sure. And I totally agree with Don when it comes to phone calls. I mean, I probably use my actual iPhone once a week. It's all Twitter. It's pretty much all Twitter.
I mean, is there just with the ping thing, the one thing that struck me is that there's an absolute saturation of information, and it's kind of like statistics for statistics' sake. And actually, people looked through it and saw that Apple were doing it more than anything just to try and sell more records, not for any other reason of social integration. I think that was a thin veil.
The ping thing, it's funny though, isn't it? I find myself buying... you know, they did Wings Band on the Run album the other day.
Mm.
And I bought it, and Ping said, do you want to let your friends know you've just bought Band on the Run? No, I don't. I don't want anybody to know.
Shame of it.
Thank you very much. The ping, actually, who said it was a failure? I sort of agree with that, though. It does seem to have died a death, doesn't it? Mind you, even at the beginning, it never looked very promising, did it?
No. I think that's the reason why. It's too commercial-based that I think people look at it and go, well, it's just like Will said, well, I don't want you to know what I bought, really. I think people also like to take a step back and say, look, I'm fine with sharing a few things that I want to share, but if you're going to start taking complete control of my privacy on the issue, then I'm just not going to use your product. And I really think that's what's happened to Ping. If they would have opened it up in a way that for Apple fanboys, whatever, people that have purchased Apple products to talk to one another like Twitter and would have been as open like Twitter, then maybe it would have taken off instead of just being a marketing tool.
Mm, good point. OS 10 is 10 years old today. It's been around in a number of iterations: Cheetah, Puma, Jaguar, Panther, Leopard, Snow Leopard. Question I raised up in the show notes for everyone to look at in the iEtherpad was: is there any dogs in that pack of cats?
Yes. Yes.
If we reflect on the previous 10 years, is there anything that we could do a straw poll in the chat room here as well? Go on then, Andrew. Which is your dog?
10.1, 10.2. 10.3. That's it. I'm done. So, 10.4 was. I mean, 10, yeah. I mean, it's unfair to nail someone to the wall for a 0.0 release. I mean, OS 10 version 10 was effectively unusable. And when you look back, when you look back at the interface and how it's developed and what the OS can do, with the exception of Mail, which seems to have stayed the same.
Which goes back beyond Cheetah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really was 10.4 was the operating system that OS 10 was born to be, basically. Everything prior to that was Apple just getting their stuff together.
So what you're saying is Apple have charged us for the R&D for the last 8.5 years?
Mm.
We never knew we were in beta till now.
No, exactly. It's probably about, I think if you look at the yawning chasm between 10.3 and 10.4, I think it's obvious that 10.4 is where Apple were heading and aiming for from the beginning. I mean, it's not possible to do that much work in one go and get it right. You have to do what they did. I suppose it's unfair to call 1, 2, and 3 dogs, because they were, they were in development and they did offer that. I mean, I remember spending at least 3/4 of my working day in all of those systems actually running Classic inside just to be, for the apps that we were still using. So, the whole infrastructure, the whole look and feel and the whole experience is a transition. And I think 10.4 was when it stopped being a transition and started becoming a grown-up operating system.
I think you've got to look back at the roots of it, though. I mean, I don't know if any chaps have tried OpenStep or NextStep, which is pretty much where it began. I've got a copy and I play with it. And I think, OpenStep and NextStep were very much, the internet didn't exist pretty much. They were sort of, not research tools, but they were aimed at the academic and scientific sort of markets. And they were sort of research aimed operating systems. And so when they took on OS 10, I think in those initial steps, they were sort of insular, they were closed boxes almost, really. The internet was there, but, and I say that because obviously I'm contradicting myself that the internet was invented on a Next computer, wasn't it? But I think effectively, when you started to use those in the early days, it was closed off, and in a funny way, OS 9 was more accessible for people who wanted to do email and internet browsing than the early ones were. But I didn't think it was too bad.
Well, 10 is clearly a Jobs OS, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they just basically just changed the interface a bit, didn't they? And added a few other stuff as well. Mm. And I remember, I mean, OS 9, I never used the Mail. I used to use Entourage in OS 9, which worked okay.
Don,
I've lost the plot a bit, actually.
Any favourites for you?
Well, I'm a relative newbie, aren't I? So I only really came in at 10.3, so I've got no experience of OS 9 and before that. And so it's, as I've seen each sort of version since then, you know, it's always been quite a nice increase in functionality, etc. So I have no real bad memories of OS 10 in the old days because I wasn't around at that time.
Andy, in the stuff that you've talked about there, was the problem with Cheetah, Puma and Jaguar that they all looked very samey and there wasn't a huge graphical change from the standard operating systems that had been around for quite a period of time, but the changes were under the hood, or is that giving it too much credit?
No, I think there weren't a lot of under the hood changes until 10.4, which did a lot of that. I think that it was mostly a sort of a bit by bit improvement in 1, 2, 3. So yeah, there's a lot of that. The first 10.0 came out, it was just effectively a public beta. Nothing worked properly. Everything was a disaster. And then they spent 1, 2, and 3 fixing the holes, making sure that it actually worked. And it kind of all of those retain that rather what looks rather twee now, the sort of the full Aqua interface with the little stripy lines on everything that when 10 came out, it looked so smart and then rapidly started looking a bit sort of a dowdy really quickly.
Yeah.
And it was when those that sort of the more garish elements of the interface started to fade into the background and Apple started to concentrate on how the OS physically worked. And how users interacted with it rather than the shock of all the lovely gel Aqua buttons. And don't forget that, I mean, it came out, I suppose it was, in development around the same time as the iMac, and a lot of that sort of the lovely round, shiny plastic iMac feel rubbed off into the interface. And Apple invented that sort of shiny 3D-ish look and feel.
I was just
that
about
everyone
to say,
sees around it.
Was the transition between 10.3 and 10.4 the fact that it actually became more consumerable, if you like? It became a glossier working experience and wasn't just a geek's OS that was purely
functional.
Yeah,
I think it was. I think definitely. And also, it was the first one that was marketed as Tiger, wasn't it? It was that, Apple knew that they'd made it because, who cares? OS 10.3, that's not a marketable product, but they knew what they'd done. They knew where Tiger was because it went out on the box. OS 10.4, Tiger, lovely black box, new look, shiny X. It was designed from the packaging, from the name, from everything to say to people, this is it, this is the one. And it definitely. And then, of course, I had remembered, probably because I blocked it out from my memory, but 10.5, when that came out, that was a crock of.
Well, I think the problem they had with that was a lot of driver issues, wasn't it? It was such a leap forward that a lot of hardware got left behind. I know I was working at the time with CS2 and CS3, and CS3 just stopped. I mean, it wasn't even like glitchy, it just stopped.
Everything stopped. It was bizarre. And I think that was the one where Apple had promised a release date and Microsoft were busy slipping Windows Vista back and back and back. And obviously that was the one where Apple had said, look, if we delay Leopard, then we're going to be Microsoft. And we've been laughing at them so much. And they just hit the shelves with it, and it needed 6 months and it didn't get it. Well, it did, but it got it whilst we were using it.
There's a question here in the chat room. Can anyone name the interface that preceded Aqua?
Platinum.
Well done. No, unless you're reading it in the chat room, because MacBits got that one right as well. I didn't know the answer.
No, that was off the top of my head.
Good man. Cool bit of trivia. Well done. Thank you, Mark. Right. Have we got any cool thingies? Will, would you like to start us off?
Okay. Yes, I will. What is it? It's called M2.
M2.
Yes, M2. And it's for the iPhone and the iPad. And I've always been a big fan of the Supernatural and that sort of, those sort of programs on TV. And I always think it's quite tantalizing, isn't it, to go to a haunted house or something. And this is, if you've got no interest in the Supernatural at all, it's quite an interesting little program anyway, because it uses all the sensors in your iPhone. And so let me read you some of the various. So we have sensor sweep. And we have, he says, pressing this button, EMF, so reader, which works. So, for instance, that you can get it going, and you move your iPhone closer to, say, a power socket or whatever, and you can see the dial increasing. So it genuinely works. We've got EVP, electronic voice phenomena. Is that right? Yeah, there we are. That sort of thing. And audio detector. So there's all these little applications within one application. So if you're a ghost hunter, it's a lot of fun.
So is this just working off the accelerometer? It's all a complete pile of bull.
No, it's not. It's not. It's got... no, it doesn't. It's not accelerometer. It does the microphone, the... what do you call
temperature?
It?
Temperature? Does it, if the temperature thing? Falls in the room suddenly, does it...
Does it have EVP on it?
It does. It does have EVP.
It does have EVP. Oh, that's right. Electronic voice phenomena. What about like a meter or something on there that tells me if it, the temperature, a temperature gauge? That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, it doesn't do that. Well, to be fair, it uses every little whatever, you know. You can even sort of sensor in the phone. So there's another one there that detects any movement in the room. So if you're, and it records it. So if you've left the room... And you're looking for a ghost, and it picks up sound. You hear sound, but you get no movement from the floor. Then you know that nobody's walking around or something like that. So scoff, laugh if you like. I don't care. Then.
Yes, so, right.
Now the big question on everyone's lips, Willie, is: have you scared the crap out of yourself with it?
Well, not really. Not really.
Not really. There's a surprise.
But it's honestly, it's really good. And there's another one that listens to spatial. That's quite good. That tells you if there's a ghost in the room, although you don't actually see. Oh, I don't. You see a sniggering.
You said, at me, you are. It reminds me of the Jimmy Carr joke, isn't it? How could you tell your house is haunted? It's not.
The beauty is as well, because it's on the iPhone, who are you going to call when it comes up?
Yeah, I suppose so.
What was the stuff? Ectoplasm, wasn't it? Does it detect ectoplasm? Has it got like a sampler that comes out?
I'm not talking to any of you anymore. You know, I'll tell you what I'm doing tonight.
It's like
you're starting your own reality show, it sounds like.
What's this all over your iPhone, Will? Ectoplasm, yeah.
Do you want me to talk or not?
Yes, please go ahead. It's entertaining.
You know what I'm making? I'm cooking my wife a curry tonight. But I'm going to do a starter, and the starter is going to be prawn cocktail, but I'm going to do it in a wine glass.
I think that's been done.
I know, but it's very posh, isn't it?
What's that got to do with ghost detection?
You're going Beetlejuice here, aren't you?
Just sort of share the moment.
Is that because you realised you were losing the conversation? I mean, Mark in the chat room's calling it the stupid natural, which... Which is kind of
funny. In the film Beetlejuice, they're eating prawn cocktail, aren't they? And then the prawns hands come out.
That's a good connection. Right. Yeah, no, it was a subtle distraction technique. Anyway, that is my pick, my ace pick, and it costs 59p, and it's a bit of a laugh, and I think it's ace.
Because any more than that would attract the attention of trading standards, I fancy.
Mark, if you will.
we'll see you on Sci-Fi, Will.
Oh, Jesus. Don, for God's sake, save us, man.
All right, then. Okay, well, I'm gonna pick a thing called Dash Cards. Now, this has been out for a while. Basically, it's a number of cheat sheets for various Mac applications and OS X itself. And it used to be that you'd go to the Dash Cards website and you'd actually do one of the Safari web clippings. So you could actually clip the dash card and have it stored in your dashboard. Right. But to be honest, although that did work, it did break now and again. The web clippings thing isn't that reliable. So the developer has now brought out a proper dashboard widget for dash cards, which is a lot more stable. So basically, you just download and install the widget. It's free. You can donate as well. I think there's a PayPal button on there. But once you have the widget installed, you can install multiple widgets. You've sort of got these cheat sheets for keyboard shortcuts for lots and lots of different applications. So if you're doing something like Markdown, which, you know, if you're not doing it a lot, it's really nice to have the different keyboard shortcuts, etc. to hand. Just hit the dashboard key on your Mac, up pops dash cards, and there you are, presented with the keyboard shortcuts. It's a really nice system.
Dash Cards with a K. Excellent pick, mate. You've been seconded in the chat room by Mark. He says, yes, very handy. So perfect. Cool. Mark's also said the wife scared me a few times, thinking about the ghost thing. And apparently, Will, you're supposed to have sherry trifle for afters if you're doing the Beetlejuice thing.
Oh.
So there you go.
Oh, maybe it will. I haven't got sherry trifle.
Ah, well, there's a whole afternoon ahead of you, dude. He's obviously got nothing else to do based on what your picks are.
Head out to the market.
Balls. That's what I say, balls.
Prawn balls. Kyle, what have you got for us, dude?
I've got an iPhone app. It's called Sign Me Out. And we're all a little bit concerned with our privacy these days, who's accessing our accounts. Well, this app kind of tells you who's had access to your Gmail account, Google Apps, Facebook. And if you're paranoid as Mark Zuckerberg as I am, then you got to have this thing on your iPhone. It's 99 cents. There is a free one out there, our light version, should I say. So if you want to try it out, I've used it a few times. I've never caught anybody using the my personal account anyways. But it's just a nice little handy app if you've left yourself signed in, something that you can just go to, sign out of all of your accounts quickly. It's kind of handy. I tried the light version. I have not bought the 99 cent one yet. So if that tells you anything.
You cheapskate.
That's right.
Are you worrying whether you can, you know, it's the 99 cent version or it's the ghost busting app? That's what's tearing
you
apart.
You know, the ghost busting app's got me intrigued. You know, I think all of us should start Bagel Tech Ghost Hunters or something.
I've already bought it. I'm going to have so much fun with Ellis with that this afternoon. I'm going to scare the bejesus out of him.
Oh. Not the scariest thing. Did you talk about ghosts and spooky and scaring it out of your son? I was on a Doctor Who forum. Some dad, who obviously is criminally insane, went out and bought a garden statue, angel statue, made from plastic, and left it in his son's bedroom overnight.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Unless you've seen a couple of episodes of Doctor Who, that probably doesn't mean a lot to you, but I just think the sheer awesomeness of putting an angel statue in your Doctor Who fan son's bedroom. So that
it's right up there with a life-size statue of the Grim Reaper.
Absolutely.
Complete with scythe, sharpened. I dread to ask, Andrew, have you got a cool thingy for us?
Yes. One really cool, the one that Will would appreciate, which I'm just going to try here a minute. I'm going to lose my cans on Skype because I need the Mac to make a noise for me now. Here we go. Skype, preferences, speakers. That's just... Yes, if you do like, it's sort of seeking in from... Have you heard, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Hello, mate. Yeah, we're here. Go on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Did I fade out there?
I don't know. You're fine here. Go ahead.
Oh, right. Yes. For anyone that's a fan of science fiction and Doctor Who, and Will, who's a fan of obviously how Britain used to be and should be again, I can recommend to you the awesome science fiction series available on iTunes called Nebulous by Graham Duff, which stars Mark Gatiss, who is a superhero as well. Basically, it's the most loving homage to Doctor Who, Quatermass, 1950s British science fiction, etc., that you could hope to meet. And I'm just queued this up. I wonder if this is going to work. No?
No, not unless it was a bit of microphone fluff, no.
You there?
We need an EVP for that. That might be kind of in the white noise.
Oh.
Is that supernatural? It's supersonic, that's for sure.
No, nothing. Oh, well, no. Anyway, thought I would do some audio there, but it's obviously hopeless. Anyway, there's a link in the thing. It's fantastic. Really nice. It's just a gentle spoof, and it's very, 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 very British indeed.
If you've tuned into this thinking it's a proper show, it's not. Yes.
Would you like to know something? Would you like a recommendation about something to do with your Mac?
Please go ahead. It can't get any more random than it already has, mate.
Well, earlier in the show, this is, I believe, professional.
Look on Don's faces. I can't believe that I've signed up to come here and help these boys out.
In professional broadcast terms, this is called a callback. And I believe we were talking about mail apps earlier in the show. So I'd like to share with you my pick for the week, which is a plugin for Apple Mail called Letterbox. You probably noticed that your Mac screen is wide and Apple Mail is long, which is dumb. So basically, Letterbox plugin allows you to see three columns of view in Apple Mail, and it makes all the difference to your working day.
Jolly good, thank you. Stick a reference in the show notes for us if you could, a link.
I
meant my latest ones.
Chat room saying that apparently, Will, you can get the Ghost Hunter M2 app, but you can also get the Yeti detector, the Nessie locator. Well, I know, but that's no good for the people that have downloaded the audio, is it?
I suppose so.
Yeti detector, the Nessie locator, and apparently healing with Angel's Oracle cards from Doreen Virtue PhD. So she's a doctor, so it must be good.
And well, I'm getting the Ghost Hunter app right now.
I'm doing Ghost Hunter with Ellis this afternoon, and I hope the hell that it absolutely goes off the scale. That'd be great. Fantastic. My pick's really boring, so I'm not going to bother doing it.
Oh, go on.
It's Lane Switcher for iPad. I saw this week. It was released this week, and I thought, I'll have a go at that. And it's like Cannonball. It just kind of throws you into it, and it's really hard when you get further on. Really, really hard. And it gets hard pretty quickly, and I haven't got anywhere with it at all, and it's frustrating as hell, but I'm addicted. Lane Switcher for iPad, and you're on a motorbike, and you just have to weave in and out of cars on a fast highway. That's it. But it really is absolutely addictive. I need to find the price, actually, because I can't remember what the price was. I think it's not much. I think it's either free or it's 99 pence. There we go. last word, sorry, goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. They are a bandwidth and hosting provider here in the UK. You can buy domain names from them. You can do e-commerce with them. You can have a server with them. And you don't have to be in the UK to use them. Internationally as well, they've got lots and lots of services that they can offer you. And they're all pretty reasonably priced as well. I think they're right up there with a lot of the other international providers. The difference in buying from them is if you go to our website, bageltechnews.com, and you click on the UK2.net link, please just do that anyway. But every time you go through there, you're supporting Bageltech, you're keeping us on the air, because they pick up all of our bandwidth charges. They provide us with all the domain names for all the shows, and any tech support that we need on the servers, they give us free of charge as well as. They look after us, they keep us running, and all they ask in return is that the people that listen to us can support them, and that we constantly give them a name check, which we do. We've done 1.1 terabytes of data on just audio this month, so it's really been flying off the charts. Thanks to everyone that's downloaded as well, because that's made a huge difference to us. They love us, we love them. UK2.net, go to bageltechnews.com and click on the link from there. And right next to it, you'll see a link to Mr. Don McAllister's screencasts online as well. And Don's been extremely generous and said that anyone who listens to Bageltech News, if you click on that and use the offer code Bageltech, you'll get 50% off the fantastic web shows that he does for use of Mac applications. So click that while you're there. Right, where can we get a hold of you? Will?
Yes. You know, I'm going to stop doing this podcast because it's cost me a fortune. I'm just downloading the Nebulous thing. £7.95.
It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Is it good? Is it?
Oh, it's stunning.
You know, anyway, you know, Will, I think this is the best 99 cents I've ever spent.
What the hell was that? Have you?
No, I'm downloading it right now. I can already feel that I'm going to scare my wife, and that's good enough for me.
Well, the most exciting thing about it is it's got a great user manual. It's like a really in-depth user manual that tells you all about the little instruments, and it's wonderful.
I feel like I've utterly lost control. Sorry. Don, where can we get a hold of you? Stuff. Green.
Well, you should find me over at screencastonline.com is the place to go to see the videos. But you can also see my blog over at themacscreencastguy.com, and you can find me on Twitter as Don McAllister.
The chances are as well, here's one of the good things. If you buy sensible applications, not ghost detection applications, and you're struggling to get started with it, something like Rapid Weaver or Logic or something like that, I'd say there's a 99% chance, Don, that you've done a screencast that covers a lot of the mainstream applications.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. There's this week's show is show number 290, so there's quite a few tutorials there. And yeah, I've covered all the iLife stuff, the iWork stuff, but more importantly, the third party stuff that people don't normally cover, like Evernote and there's all sorts, Dropbox, you name it. I've probably covered it at some point.
In terms of a don't bother with the manual, just get started, I'd say Screencasts Online is probably the best stop. So
it's sometimes a quicker way than plowing your way through a manual. Just a quick 20 minutes and you go up to speed on it.
Do you do any bedtime story reading for people as well? Because your voice is so soothing, dude.
Not really, although people have said that they sometimes put the podcast on to drop themselves off to sleep at night.
That's not a compliment,
the nicest possible way.
Kyle, where can we get a hold of you?
You can find me, of course, here on the Bagel Tech Network and twitter.com/KyleSwagger. And probably pretty soon, me and Will will be doing Bagel Tech EVP.
Oh, don't. And finally, Andy, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
At Dr. Happy Mac on Twitter. www.drhappyback.co.uk on to internet.
Yeah, and if you've got any questions as well about your sick Mac, you can either send the sick Mac to be fixed to Andrew, or you can send us an email and he'll tell you that you need to send it to him to be fixed.
And I'm definitely working at the moment. I'm working on some way to give a little back. It's the way that my website's run at the moment. It's not easy to sort of whack on a discount code and things, but I'm certainly in the process of doing a Bagel Tech Mac thing that you can plug in and buy, get a discount off the anything you get there.
Thanks, pal. We're talking about doing a little kind of engineery show, aren't we, as well, and how to pull things to pieces, kind of screencast type thing. So,
ooh, right, get me hammer
engineering thing. And Will, we can get hold of you at British Mac, can't we? And you're the famous British Mac podcast as well.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I'm not going to talk any more about the EVP thing, but I've just had a fantastic idea for a podcast.
Go on.
It's really good.
Okay, but so, go on.
So you go to a particular like location, which you might believe is haunted, and EVP uses, you know, people listen to static, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you take I'm going to be podcast from here. You don't say anything. You just play static, right? For whatever, an hour or something, and people have to listen to pick up any sort of ghosty type things that are coming through the static. And then I'm thinking you could do like
a bit like this show.
So you
then
could have like five different statics, all, you know, and you have to listen to see if each one comments. So when I'm dead, hopefully, if you're still doing this, just play a load of static for my bit.
And you're going to come back on.
Yeah, and I'll come back on.
Do you think you'll have video then as well?
Probably not.
No.
I don't know. It might be pretty boring. It could just be like, you know, like when your telly picks up static.
I've got to say, the only horror film that's ever scared the bejesus out of me was White Noise. That really spooked me, that one. So I'm not playing with White Noise. Not happening. There you go. If you've enjoyed this show, I'm amazed. We'll see you again next week.
I've got tears in my eyes.
We'll see you next week for Bagel Tech Mac. It's at 1 p.m. on a Friday, and it'll be available as a download as well.
Are we out of here?
Take care. Thanks for listening. Ha ha ha!